It's important that we spend the time when we do an ordination. If you guys need to duck off early, that's okay as well. So if anyone is leaving, our Brisbane church might need to get away to set up in Brisbane. So don't panic. Everyone else is going to have to stay. I'll get Pastor Mel to close the door on the way out so you can't leave. So the master's recipe for effective praying is what we've been working through, isn't it? And we've got another couple of Sundays to go. The Lord's Prayer is 66 words, but it holds so much power. Who remembers praying the Lord's Prayer at school? Who tried to ignore praying the Lord's Prayer at school? Let's pray for our offering before we go any further. So for those that are new, there's no obligation to give. We don't even do an offering message at the refinery. But what we do is pray for our offering every single week. So if you've got a seed and you're ready to sow, there's boxes on either side. If you'd like to tap and go, because that's the easy way to sow, you can come and see Sue after the service and she'll help you out. So Father, Lord, we thank you for adopting us as your children. Lord, with eyes wide open to your mercies, we come to dedicate ourselves afresh to you today. Lord, help us to use our talents and our testimonies so that others may know Christ. Let us use our testimonies, Lord, not our monies. As we bring our tithes and offerings, Lord, we pray your blessings upon them today. Lord, help us not to meet just the expenses of this ministry, but others that are emerging to the outermost ends of the earth. Lord, the glory is yours, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray this morning. And the believers said, amen. You clocking some kilometres this morning, Margaret? Amen. So today we're going to discuss our daily bread. Has everyone eaten today? Or is everyone planning on eating today? Different bread. So bear with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. The verse we're going to concentrate on is Matthew 6:11. Which is exactly that. Give us today our daily bread. But I think Psalm 146 ties into this pretty well. So if you've got your Bible, open Psalm 146 up. Otherwise, I'll read it for you because I'm a generous pastor. Who knows, we need a spirit of generosity in this city and in our churches. I'm not just talking about giving, but receiving as well. We need to learn to receive generously. This talks about the happiness of those who help, whose help is the Lord. Psalm 146:1 starts with, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I think any of us that wake up of a morning breathing still should be able to pray that. Amen. While you can always tell where the elderly part of the congregation, not the elderly, the more mature part of the congregation is sitting. You talk about taking a breath for the day and they're into it. Oh, wow. Dr. Bruce Allen sends his love. I just got a message from him. Verse 2, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them, who keeps truth forever. He who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Hallelujah. Who's been a prisoner before? Not necessarily in jail. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves righteousness. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. By the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How good is that? Let me grab a drink. We all should be celebrating when we wake up of a morning and saying, Lord, thank you for another day. And when we go to bed at night, say, Lord, can I have another one tomorrow? We should be praising Him. And you know, prayer begins not with, let me get this right. I'm a bit excited this morning. Prayer begins with Godward concerns, doesn't it? We direct our prayers to Him, but it doesn't end there. The first three petitions in the Bible, in the Lord's Prayer, make petitions for the name of God, kingdom, and the will of God. We've been through those in the last few weeks. And they must be the first concern. Our Father in heaven, we're recognizing Him as God. We're praying for His kingdom to come. Can you imagine this city? If God's kingdom was functional here? But you know that kingdom is actually in you. So if you were functional here, Jesus turned the world upside down with 12 unlearned men. Imagine what we could do. There's more than 12 of us here. And I think most of the men in the house are reasonably learned. And the ladies in the house are probably a lot smarter than all of us. Imagine what could happen in this city. They're the first concerns in our prayer life. The name of the Lord, the kingdom, and God's will. But then Jesus gave us four petitions to cover our needs, didn't He? Give us this day our daily bread. Touches on the needs of our body. I fasted 40 days last year. I couldn't have done that without the Lord. I know a pastor in the city who fasted for 40 days at the beginning of this year and has just started another 40-day fast because the Lord said to. So we're praying for her daily. Forgive us our debts. That's the next one, isn't it? And that includes the needs of our soul. Our soul has debts, it has trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Speak of the spiritual needs of the person. This reminds us that we can take whatever concerns we have to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Give us our daily bread would seem to be a simple statement of need, wouldn't it, to most of us? But there's been many different interpretations set forth. Some people have drawn back from thinking of it as a simple request for bread. They've changed it to mean spiritual bread from the Word of God or Christ, the bread of life. Or some have even referred to it as the bread of the Lord's table. But there's no need to get so spiritual. We don't need to spiritualize that request. Lord, give us what we need today. Our God is just as concerned about our basic necessities of life being supplied to us as He is that we have spiritual bread for the Spirit. That might be Him now. I love that Pastor Shane Cunningham, I think it is, has a rule. If someone's phone rings, actually it might have been Kuya Dan. Someone's phone rings, they buy the coffee. The second phone that rings buys all the donuts. There's a warning for next week for everyone. I love donuts. I will ring you myself if I know your phone's turned on. Our God is concerned about our total person. Can we all agree on that? God is concerned about us. So what can we learn here? The petition for daily bread is our first point, and it acknowledges God as the source of our bread. There has to be an explanation to that, though, doesn't there? What does the petition for bread include? The word here, bread, should be understood as including all of our material needs. All of them, not just some of them. Whatever is necessary to sustain your physical life in the world is what it's meaning here. We are to come to God without petitions for those necessities as required, and as an acknowledgement that we rely on God, the giver of every perfect gift, to provide for us. That chair you're sitting on today, someone made that, someone designed it, but God made it possible. The word clearly tells us nothing that was created without him. And later in our chapter here, Jesus rebuked the worldly anxiety over the necessities of life, didn't he? He declared that we deny God. Now, this might be a little bit prickly for some people this morning, but he declared that we deny God when we become anxious over what we will eat or what we will wear or where we will live. Now, we used to have some people in this church that would sit at the back organizing their lunch menu during church. They were more interested in what they were going to do in an hour's time than what the Lord was saying. The word tells us that we deny God when we do that. Who's worried about what they're having for lunch today? Hallelujah. Lucy, don't look so nervous. Who's worried about what they're going to wear to work tomorrow? Good. Jesus affirmed that God knows that we need all of these things. He knows we need food. He knows we need shelter. He knows we like to wear clothes. And there's an example. God gave his people a lesson on this truth in the early on in their national history. Their food supply ran out soon after they left Egypt. No other supplies were available in the desert, were they? They became anxious about the situation and began to murmur loudly. What they actually did was just whinge the whole time. Do we know any whingy Christians? Perhaps we've been one. I know lots of them. But God graciously began to supply the food they needed. And what did they do? They whinged. They learned that God, that the God of creation and redemption, has an abundant supply of manna every single day. We also have an application in our lives, don't we? Christians in Australia are likely to forget the source of the bread. We just go to Woolworths or a bakery and pick it up, don't we? And those who can't afford it, bread is provided by our government. People looking at me a little bit confused. Bread is supplied by our government. Is anyone on Centrelink? There's the money for your bread. Anyone been to a feeding ministry or a charity? There's your bread. The government's supplying it. People forget that. We've got it really easy in Australia. Let me put you in the desert outside Egypt. See whether you can find it there. Jesus wants us to know, however, that the real source of bread is the God who never changes. We might change the way we deliver this message to people. You know, not that many years ago, we didn't have live streaming, did we? We didn't have podcasts. So the delivery sometimes changes, but you know what? The gospel remains the same. Our God is not bipolar. He's not schizophrenic. He doesn't change his mind. He is behind every secondary source of supply. That includes our welfare system. That includes the feeding ministries. That includes the charities. God is behind that. He's put something into people's hearts that they actually do that work even if they're not believers. Without his sunshine and rain, I mean, what a day. Who would not want to live on the Gold Coast in autumn? Look at it out there. Without his sunshine and rain, because apparently there's rain coming later. But we don't worry about that. Look at it out there now. Without his creative presence in nature, we'd have no food or shelter or clothing, would we? Those of you who have always accepted responsibility for providing for your own bread have not felt any need for asking God for his assistance. We see it so often within churches. We've seen it so often here. People come in broken, busted up. Marriage is falling apart. No job, nowhere to live. They ask us to pray and we walk alongside them and we pray for the things they need. And what's the first thing they do when all those things get redeemed? They leave the church. Now, are they trusting God? Or are they just wanting a handout from him? There's a difference. We're blessed, many of us. Haven't been in that position. We've had plenty to eat and we've had plenty to wear. We haven't had to ask for it. Oh, but Pastor Gary, that's a bit harsh. I walked that life. When I met Pastor Amanda, I was essentially homeless. I had to decide whether to eat myself or feed my children. I cried out to God, Lord, why? And because I meant it, he answered. We've had plenty to eat. We've had plenty of clothes to wear. We haven't had to ask God all that much. But don't be deceived. The bread you've been eating and the clothing you've been wearing have come to you as gifts from God. God's been merciful to bestow them upon you, even though you haven't asked for them or even acknowledged him for them. He's done it anyway. What a good God he is. I think you're the only one who heard that, Amanda. What a good God he is. Amen. When we put a little bit of thoughtful consideration into it on our part, it'll become clear that God is ultimately our source for everything. Our second thing today is the prayer for daily bread affirms God's method of supply. The prayer says, this day. It's simply a petition that there are some important lessons that need to be made about how God supplies our needs. In Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, this day, it points out that God's regular method is to supply our needs as they occur. Has anyone ever prayed for a job that they desperately needed and right at the last minute you got it? Has anyone ever prayed for anything and waited and waited and prayed and been faithful and right at the last minute God comes through? He supplies our needs as they occur. Sometimes he supplies our wants, but he supplies our needs. Literally, it's a cry for bread today, isn't it? Give us this day our daily bread. Not worry about tomorrow, today. We're not praying about bread for next year or in our old age, but for today. What happens if you get a loaf of bread today and you wait to eat it until next year? It'd be pretty horrible, isn't it? What happened with the manna that fell from heaven? It rotted, didn't it? And then those whiny Israelites. Lord, give us meat. There's quails everywhere. And they still win. I mean, I would have been whinging too if I had to pluck quails. Those little suckers are pretty hard to get. God's wisdom in this is clear. Today, if he gave us all that we would ever need in life at the beginning of our life, we'd forget the giver, wouldn't we? As we went about using up the gift. And because generally in the West, we're pretty greedy. If he gave us everything in our first year of life, it'd be gone by our second or third year. But since he's pleased to give it to us daily, in response to our prayers, we have less opportunity to forget that we are so dependent on him every day. That's why I said at the start, if you woke up this morning and took a breath, you should be saying, thank you, Lord, for another day. Because he can easily make the decision that you don't get one tomorrow. Daily is also an important word in this prayer. The word indicates more than the receipt of a daily supply. It's a petition for just what is necessary to meet our needs. We've got to be careful about asking God for material things. We only should be asking him for what is necessary to meet our needs today. That's why when you pray, Lord, give me a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, he gives you a Toyota Corolla. Or for some of us that are a little bit older, a Datsun 180B. Still get from A to B, don't you? And fast. If God is pleased to give us more than enough to meet our basic needs, we should be grateful to him, and therefore we should be generous to others. We need a spirit of generosity within our churches in this city. We need a spirit of generosity, in fact, everywhere across our city. And being generous doesn't mean just keep handing out money to people who keep taking it. We should be grateful to him and be generous to others. What's the one thing the Lord says that we've received freely and therefore we should freely give? Anyone want to take a stab at that? If not, I'll get everyone a Bible later. They can read it. Salvation. Freely you have received. Freely give. Be generous in sharing the gospel. Please, church, I plead with you. And if he only gives us enough to meet our basic needs, we should be content. Third thing is the petition for daily bread expresses a concern for others. One thing I love about our church that is when people are part of the family, we actually care for each other. There's people here that have been ill and meals have been delivered. There's people here that have cooked those meals. There's students here that have been supplied food. Our family does not go without. And that's what we should be doing. We don't need to be out feeding the homeless. We have people with need in our own church family. They get looked after first. And then everyone else with what's left over. We're also showed an explanation here, aren't we, about our concern for others. There's no place for selfishness when we come before the Heavenly Father in prayer. Has anyone tried that? Tried to go to the Lord in prayer and been a bit selfish? Doesn't listen, does he? Just ignores you. The model prayer makes it clear by making the pronouns plural. I'm not talking about the pronouns the world uses. For example, give us this day our daily bread. Us. This day our daily bread. Lord, not give me my daily bread today. Lord, not give Nick his daily bread today, but give us. When we come before the Father, we must bear a concern for any in God's family who have material needs. And I'm going to draw a very clear line there. God's family. Yes, pray for the world, but pray for God's family first. For their material needs. Because if Pastor Amel's hungry and he hasn't eaten for 30 or 40 days, it's going to be hard to minister the word to the world, isn't it? So we pray for his needs. We pray for the family's needs. What about the application of this? What's it look like? Do your prayers reflect a concern for others? If you've been to one of our Wednesday night groups, you will see what prayers look like when they show concern for others. Selfishness is a hindrance to effective prayer. Lord, if I just had $1 million, I could do so much. The Lord's response is, what have you done with what I've already given you? More money doesn't fix the problem. Have a look at our government. Throwing more money at something does not fix a problem. You've heard those ministers, I feel as though the Lord's saying, 5 people are going to give $1,000 today. Rubbish. That's selfishness, and that's a hindrance to people's prayers. God will not hear you if you're only concerned about bread for yourself. James wrote, I'm doing pretty well here. I'm going to get everyone out of here a little bit earlier than what I thought. Who's happy about that? Hey, Margaret. Nick, can you please pray for Margaret? That's right, she's not getting home by herself, is she? If you're only concerned about bread for yourself, God is not going to show much concern for your prayers. James wrote in James 4:3, you ask and do not receive. Has anyone done that? Come on, we can be honest. We're all family here, right? We've all done it. If you haven't, we'll cast that lying demon out of you later. We've all done it. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's a bit prickly, isn't it? It's a little bit ouchy. Maybe what you're asking the Lord for, he knows that it's not for everybody. It's just for you to look after yourself. That's why I don't have an issue with ministers getting paid. I have an issue with ministers getting paid $250,000 a year in our city. Because their prayer is for them. But I might leave that alone, because I'll be meeting with a couple of them this week. This petition for daily bread surely mandates a practice of daily prayer. If the Lord's going to supply what we need today, we need to pray today. If he's going to supply what we need tomorrow, we need to pray tomorrow. Who has been here long enough to remember when we used to pray the Lord's Prayer before every service? God wants you to come before him daily with the concerns of your life, church. Has everyone got concerns? I mean, if you haven't turned the news on tonight, you'll have some after that. God wants you to come before him every day with those concerns. And this petition surely mandates daily thanksgiving as well. Please and thank you has sort of disappeared, hasn't it, from our vocabulary. If we're saying, Lord, please supply our needs, we should also be saying thank you when they're supplied. We should be coming to him in thanksgiving every day. Thank you, Lord, for another breath. As Dr. Bruce said, you've shared this story with you so many times. From a few months ago, we'd all come back from Canberra from the Come Lord Jesus conference. We were all ill. There was a demonic attack down there. It was horrible. All the speakers, all the worship teams got sick. We come back and Dr. Bruce Allen, we're sitting on our balcony having a cup of tea. wallowing in our own sorrow because we were sick, myself and Pastor Amanda and Reshma. Dr. Bruce was the sickest of all of us, and he bounds out of the bedroom saying, "Who's thanked the Lord today for feeling like this?" We're like, "What is wrong with you?" But we should be thankful, shouldn't we? Even when we don't feel great, we should be thankful because we're still walking on the earth and we still have a plan and a purpose that the Lord has set before us. God is faithfully supplying all the necessities of our life each day. It should be a crime not to express genuine thankfulness towards Him. I see way too many miserable Christians. Like those chickens that Pastor Amel preached about a few months back. They can see what's in front and they're just pecking. They need to be looking up. We need to be like the eagles that he preached about, seeing the bigger picture, soaring above everything. Now, I like eating chicken. I'm pretty sure the eagles do too. We need to be replacing our anxieties about daily needs with prayer. And we need to know that God will hear and answer those prayers. I've been there. Quite a few years ago, I was suffering from anxiety. I was on antidepressants. I know how easy it is to wallow in our own misery, but we need to be thanking the Lord because He has a plan and a purpose for us. Christians, oh, and I use that term so loosely. Kingdom people is a better description, right? Kingdom people need to be looking up and not being anxious about the next thing. So can we pray as we finish up here? I think Pastor Amanda, have you got another song for us or something? Let us pray. And then when Pastor Amanda leads us in this last worship song, I might... All right, I'll just keep going. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that as family we can gather here on a Sunday morning. That we can worship You, Lord. Talk about You, Lord. And fellowship together, Lord. Lord, I thank You that we've had the honor and the privilege of ordaining Nick and Sue this morning as pastors within this church. I thank You, Lord, that as family, You protect each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that protection over everyone right now in Jesus' name. I pray the blood of Jesus over everyone right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that Your glory that we know is within us is released. Lord, as we go about our business throughout the week, that everywhere we set our feet, Lord, we claim for You. And we release the glory in this city. Lord, I thank You this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your word. Thank You that You give us our daily bread. You give us what we need. And Lucy and Wendy are just going to sing in the background there, the goodness of God, and you can focus on those words. But I believe that some people have come in today and they're ready to make a fresh start and a new step in their journey with the Lord. You know, there's been so many works of the enemy coming against so many in these days. But today offers an opportunity to come forth and say, Lord, give me today my daily bread. Give me what I need today, right now. And I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to a few of you anyway this morning about that. So I just want to give you this opportunity to make that fresh start, that new commitment to the Lord today. Because He sees your heart and He knows the pain that you have been going through. He knows the dumb decisions you've made. And He loves you all the same. He doesn't care. He says, just repent, turn around from it all and come back to me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm going to also invite Pastor Nick and Sue to come forth and stand here with me. And just as we reflect and think on what the Lord is saying, there's an opportunity for you to come up now and let us pray for you. For the Lord surely loves you. He is a God of love. Come on up. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord loves you. He sees your heart. He knows you have cried out to Him in your hour of need. Don't feel embarrassed. This is your opportunity to come and drink from the living waters of life that the Lord God Almighty Himself has provided. This is your opportunity to say, Lord, I'm here. I'm sorry for messing things up, but I want to turn my life around. I want to get things right again. If that's you, just come up. Let us pray with you. Let us stand with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love and mercy. Oh, hallelujah. We give you glory, Lord. Thank you, Father. Come and drink from the well. Come and drink from the waters of living life. Hallelujah. Glory to you, mighty God. Thank you, Father.